We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavya ben Menachemishim Ham Yaakov Bifidichov Suliyo. We're in Erech and Perikvav, Mishnah Dalet. This is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We spoke about the fact that the Gizbar, the treasurer, can come and take a security from someone who owes an Erech vow, but we said that he can't take clay umnos. He can't take tools that he needs for his profession. He has to leave for him two tools from each min, each species that he had. So we spoke about a charash, a carpenter. We said, nosnim no shnei matzadim. We have to leave for him two planes and shtei megeros and two saws. But the Mishnah here says, what about the following? Hayya min echad meruba umin echad muat. Let's say we have this carpenter, where he has three planes and only one saw. So maybe we should say, let him sell one of the planes and get a saw, and then he'll have two and two, and the Gizbar really shouldn't take anything as security for the Erech vow that he owes for this particular craftsman. Says Mr. No, ein omrim lo limkor min hamaruba velikach min hamuot. We don't let him sell the extra tool of one type so he can buy a second tool of the other type. Elonostim lo shnei minim min hamaruba. No, what do? We leave him two minim of the maruba. We leave him the two planes, let's say, that he had, and we take one of them. And now he's left with the two planes and one saw, and that's it. V'chol sheyesh lo manamuot. Whatever he has of that which he has a few of, which means this single tool that he had only one of those, so that he keeps, but he can't sell one of the extras so that he can have two of those. Now, this should be obvious to us. He was managing with one tool up until this point. So why would I have thought otherwise? So the Bar Tanur explains based on the Gemara. Demau detema, what would I have said? Ad hashta havu inshi mushli le mishum dahavili min echad meruba lo shule l'achrini. Maybe you would say like this. When he had three planes, and so he had an extra one. So he could lend that out to other people, and they in return would lend him a saw. So he would have an extra saw anyway. So maybe now that the Gizbar is taking away one of those extra tools that he has, and he doesn't have an extra one to lend out, maybe we would say, so now it's not fair. Now he won't be able to access an extra saw. So comes the mystery to say, no, that we don't really care. We take and leave him two of the one that he had three of, and the one they had one of, he has one, and that's all he'll have. Then the Mishnah says, Hamakdish es nechasav, malin lo es tfilav, a person who consecrates his property. So we ma'aleh, literally means to elevate, but it means that we assess the tefillin, which means if someone, let's say, is makdish all of his property, we assume that that includes the tefillin, and we assess the value of the tefillin, and if he wants to redeem them, then he has to borrow money to redeem them. The Beis HaMikdash is going to take the tefillin. Now, why should this be the case when it came to Erech? It came to Erech, we said the tefillin are not included, and they cannot take the tefillin as security. So the difference is the following. When it comes to someone who's giving makdish something, all his property to the Beis HaMikdash, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah by being makdish everything, including his tefillin. So we assume that he had his tefillin in mind. But when it comes to giving an Erech vow, so that's only giving a financial, obligation that he gives to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he does not assume that that's going to include tefillin, that they would be able to take that as security in order to ensure that he pays, and therefore the tefillin is not included. Perek Vav Mishneh. Echad ha-makdish es nechasav, echad ha-ma'arich es atzmo. Whether a person is makdish's possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, as we spoke about when it came to the tefillin, where we assume the tefillin is included, or Marech Esatmo, he gives his Erech vow to the Beis HaMikdash. Either way, these are the things that are not included. These things are not, even though Tefillin was included in Makdish and not Marech, these are things that are not included in either one. Even when you're Makdish, the Beis HaMikdash does not get the following. Ein lo b'chusus ishto, clothing that belonged to his wife, that's not included in what you consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. They remain hers. V'lo b'chusus banav, not clothing of your children. V'lo b'tzeva shetzva'ar, nor clothing that were dyed for them, nor with new sandals that you bought for them as well. So since these items belong to his wife, they belong to the children, they're not his, so he can't consecrate them, therefore, and the Begizbar can't take them as security either. Although we spoke in Mishnah Gimel that we don't have clothing, we don't assume when it comes to security, we don't say that we'll set aside clothing for his wife and children, and we're going to take whatever it is after a husband is obligated to make sure that his children have clothing, his wife has clothing, and we don't care about that. We'll take security, and we're not going to leave enough money for that. That's where he didn't give the clothes. He had clothing, but he didn't give them to his wife prior to making an erech. So then they can be taken as security. The Mishnah he was speaking about where either the erech that he made or the being makdish as nechasim took place after the clothing were given to his wife and children. That's why they're not included. That's why they can't even be taken as security. And when it comes to sandalim chadashim, why do we mention that? That shoes and clothing are considered the property of the wife and the children once they're bought, even though they were not worn, even though they're brand new, chadashim, they cannot be taken as security, and they're not included in the being makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. Afa pishanam, the Mishnah says, avadim nimkarim b'chusam l'shevach. Even though when it comes to slaves, so what would we normally do? We sell a slave, so we want to sell them when they're wearing clothing, the shevach. They get a higher market value to such an extent. If you dress a slave nicely, and so the clothing is only worth 30 dinar, 30 zuz, his value will increase by a mana, by 100 dinar, by 100 zuz. So that's what we typically do. And when the Mishnah is going to tell us, we'll give several examples of this, that we don't wait to it for the appreciation of something or the potential of the price going higher, so that the Beis HaMikdash gets more money and we assess it at that value. We don't wait around, we don't delay, as we will see. So for example, person has an Eved, so normally what would he do? If he would sell him with clothing on, and it would mashbiach more, just a side point. The Mishnah of Mitzvah in the fourth parak speaks about the fact that we can dye the hair of a slave to make him look younger, or we can't do certain things to animals so that for the purpose of selling, that's fraud, that's onaa. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Samach says there's a difference between someone who wants to make a slave look younger when he's really older, or let's say a slave, I just want to make the slave look nicer, so to put on a suit. So no, nothing wrong with putting on a suit to make a slave look a little bit that he's more expensive, he'll get a higher price for it. So that's perfectly okay. That's not considered fraud. It's deception when a slave is really older and you dye his hair and now he looks younger, so that's going to be a problem. What else does the Mishnah say? When it comes to a selling a cow, imam kino osel itlis, if you wait till the market, you certainly can sell it for a higher price. When it comes to a pearl, imalin osel akrach, if you bring it to the bigger cities, mashbachasi, certainly get a higher price for that as well. People who live in the bigger cities, they have a lot more money, they pay higher prices for a pearl, for jewelry. Ein la hektesh ela mekom rushasa. So with all of these examples, it's true when it comes to selling things, I may wait around or dress, bring it somewhere, change the location, address the eved in a certain way for the purposes of getting a higher price. That doesn't work when it comes to hektesh. Comes to ein la hektesh ela mekomo, its place, rushata, when it's time. It receives what it can get from whatever was consecrated to the base of hektesh in its place where, let's say, the pearl is. Not waiting for it to be sold in a larger city in its time, which means that the slave or the cow, we sell it immediately. We don't wait till the slave can be sold, or you can find an outfit. Maybe it has it right now. That's one thing. You don't wait till you can buy an expensive outfit so that it looks nicer, or the cow can be sold at a higher price. If you wait a while till the market day, we don't wait for all of that. Why do we not do that? Because the pasuk says, "V'nasan esor kacha bayomahu kodesh l'Hashem." What's bayomahu? That's without delay. Has to be done right away, and we don't wait, even though we can potentially get a higher price. Now, the Bar Tanura quotes the Rambam, actually gives a svara for this. It's not only based on the pasuk. V'taima kasav haRambam dizinin to asu lashuinu kedilahashbiach. What's going to happen? May you wait around and may delay in order to get the higher price, so they appreciate. But asu l'dave seder, in the end, it'll end up being a loss because they may depreciate also. Umei hay taima nami a mistakrin b'shel hektesh. So if we wait around, we delay, it's potentially Hektesh may end up losing out. And for the same reason, that's why we don't rent out things that belong to Hektesh, because you end up by keeping things around as well. We end by renting it out. We may end up getting a price that's not appropriate for Hektesh. So that's a logic why Ein Lehektesh Ela Mekomo Ushaato, only its place and its time.